Hello English Podcast, a podcast for EFL learners and teachers. Hello everyone, this is one more episode of the Follow English Podcast. Today is May the 21st, 2015, Thursday. My name is Marcos Gazana and I'm speaking from Porto Alegre in the south of Brazil. This is episode 72 of the Follow English Podcast and I'm going to be speaking about how to write effective emails in English. So I'm going to be giving you some tips for writing effective emails in English. I have 8 tips here in front of me. I'm going to read them out to you and then I'm going to go through each one of them making my own comments. Maybe in the future I can, I can do another episode more specifically on the language or the expressions that you can use in your email messages. So today I just basically want to give you some overview of how to write an effective email and things that you should bear in mind in case you're writing a message in English. So let me remind you before I start that the webpage for this podcast is at pod.followenglish.com.br. You can add your email to the email list in case you want to receive notifications whenever there is a new episode out there. You can also follow us via iTunes or Stitcher or Podomatic as well. You can also send an email message to info@followenglish.com.br in case you want to make any suggestions. In fact, this episode here is... some of my listeners have already asked me to do a podcast on emailing English, and some listener, I can't remember exactly where from, but one listener asked me to talk about expressions to be used in emails. And today, initially, I'm going to do this podcast, which is more like an overview of how to write effective messages. But maybe in the near future, I can go more directly to the phrases, to the expressions to be used in emails when you write emails in English. So let's get started then. Well, the first tip, of course, I have to start with a subject line. So the first tip is start with a strong subject line. In case you don't know what the subject line is, the subject line is like when you write an email message, you have to start with a kind of a title or a headline. Yes, and this is called the subject line. So start with a strong subject line. Think of your subject line as the headline of an important news article. Make sure the subject line relates to the message content. I find it very annoying sometimes when people write emails to you and they simply omit the subject line. They leave it blank. Or other than that, they simply, instead of writing a new email, if it's a new topic, they simply reply to an old message that you sent to them. And then it becomes very difficult to find the message later and very confusing. So it's very helpful if you start with a strong subject line. A subject line that will be easy to search in the future if you need to find that message again. The second tip is use the inverted pyramid form of writing, which means what? It means that your most important statements should appear in the first paragraph, and then you should follow up with supporting details. So if you have an informative email message in which you're going to pass on some information, start with the most important things and then move on to the supporting details in your following paragraphs. And even if you're not writing an informative email, if you're writing an email to request some information, be more objective, especially at the beginning of the email, and include a sentence which could start like this: I'm writing to, and state the reason why you're writing. That's very important, I would say. Tip number three is limit sentence length and keep paragraphs short for easy reading. Put forward your recommendations or state the measures you will take to resolve a problem, for instance. So here, limiting sentence length and keeping paragraphs short, I think it's very important as well to keep your message clear, to pass on the message in a clear way. I would even recommend that you leave a space between paragraphs if you have a very long email message, because that can kind of show the reader where you are, let's say, separating the ideas, where you want to start some new idea or some new topic. Okay, so this is tip number three. Tip number four is use subtopic headings within your email message, especially if the message is lengthy. Refer to the subtopics in your first paragraph. This will provide a helpful guide for your reader. Of course, in this case here, by the way, I'm reading these tips here. I'm grabbing them from Market Leader Advanced Business English course book. This was published by Pearson Longman, authors Ivona Dubica, well, forgive me if I mispronounce your name, and Margaret O'Keefe. So anyway, coming back to the fourth tip, which is about using subtopic headings within your email message, I think this is the kind of thing that you should do only if you have a very long email message. And they also say here, refer to the subtopics in your first paragraph. You know, when you're writing a long piece, maybe you want to have a kind of introduction, and then in this introduction you will mention what you're going to find in the rest of the email, what the reader will find in the rest of the email. So for longer messages, maybe this is a good idea to have subtopic headings. Like, for instance, if you are writing a kind of report, if you're sending this report by email, maybe you will have the subtopic headings, like findings or what kind of questions were asked in a specific survey, and then the findings and your comments or your final comments on the issue. So you could separate each paragraph and use subtopic headings. Then tip number five is ask for an action. For example, let your recipient know what you need in order to complete a task. Yeah, I think whenever we write a message, there is a reason for writing. Of course, it could be just basically passing on information to somebody else. In this case, there isn't much to ask. But other than that, I think you have to be very clear what you want your recipient or reader to do. I mean, if you send a message to a different department, be objective and state clearly what you want people to do. Tip number six is avoid misinterpretation of dates by spelling out the month. For example, 24th June 05, like 2005, or instead of spell out the month June, because sometimes you have the 11th of October. If you just simply put 11 and then the month 10, you see, people might interpret it as November the 10th instead of 11th of October. So I think it's always a good idea to actually spell out the month And clearly, I mean, even the time, if it's in the afternoon, use PM, or if it's in the morning, use AM. I think this is related to clarity, and it's very obvious, but sometimes people don't pay attention to that, and it becomes confusing. I always write, even the day of the week, I write, sometimes I include the day of the week in brackets, just to make sure that the person understands it's going to happen on a Friday, or it's going to happen on a Thursday, whatever we're talking about. Maybe we're talking about a meeting or something. Then tip number 7 is proofread your email and use the spell check. Yes, well, this, I think it's important. Some email editors, they have a kind of built-in spell check, and you don't have to worry about that. Most of them, I think, do, I confess I'm not familiar with all kinds of email editors, so I'm email software, so I'm not able to tell you which has this kind of feature and which doesn't, which have and which don't. But anyway, if you're writing something more formal and you're not sure if your email software has a spell check, well, you can always copy and paste your message and create a new document in Word just to check the spelling. And finally, the last tip is reread your message one last time before you send it. Think about how you would react if you were on the receiving end of your message. I think this is very obvious as well, but some people forget to do that, and there's always, sometimes people forget some detail, there's always something missing, and because you actually didn't read again your message before sending it. So I think it's wise to read one last time whatever message you're sending, just to see if you didn't forget any detail, and to double check spelling and whether your message is clear enough. So these are my tips, the 8 tips for writing effective emails in English. And maybe in a future episode, I will include some expressions that we can use in email messages when we write them in English. Well, thank you very much for listening. I hope you're all learning something. And see you next time. Bye.